Hoop Dreams, the podcast, an Unlearning Network production.
AJ and I, man, we're going to ask you some quick hitters. And we just want to see, man, how you respond on your feet with some of these quick hitters.
All right, let's do it.
Before we jump into the NBA and your G League experience, but three toughest visitor stadiums that you played in college.
Kansas was crazy loud. Florida was always tough too. And then a lot of the neutral sites when we played Duke, Kansas, all them teams, North Carolina, those are crazy too. But I would say Kansas, probably Florida. And you know where it was hard to win was in Tennessee. Tennessee was tough, man. They're gonna beat your ass in there. If you win, you coming out bleeding, like that's for sure.
You know, it's funny. You know who I thought you was gonna say though? Huh? I thought you was gonna say Louisville is one of those.
Man, Louisville was awesome. That state is so divided, blue and red. Yes. half the crowd wearing blue, half the crowd wearing red. Louisville gotta be up there. Yum Center's dope too. Yum Center's serious.
Give me your toughest players you guarded while at Kentucky.
I'm Jamal Murray. I've guarded Jamal every day in practice. You ever run around with some guy making insane shots like that? Tough.
Yeah, off either leg.
Oh man, either leg. Turn around. It looked like a bad shot. Get back on defense. Like going in. I would say all on my team, man. Jamal Murray, Briscoe, and T. Ulis. Man, T. Ulis was insane.
Yeah. I remember him in high school. Was something else, man. Here's one for you, man. Top five tracks on your playlist right now, and then give me your top three artists of all time.
Tracks on my playlist. My playlist bounces around, man. I listen to like mixtapes, albums, whatever, but I'm listening to a lot of J. Cole. So before games and stuff like that, I listen to the warm up. Reminds me of, you know, being even before high school, where I wanted to be and how inspired that music made me feel. I listen to a lot of Big Sean. He also has a lot of inspiring music, you know. And I listen to a lot of like old school hip hop too. I listen to Nas, Talib Kweli, all types of stuff. So I really mix it up. That's for sure.
Give me your favorite sneakers to play in, and then your favorite sneakers to wear around.
Favorite sneakers to play in are definitely Kobe's. Man, I was glad that they got that deal back. I was definitely glad to hear that the other day. But I love playing in Kobe's. Walking around, probably Jordan 1s.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, man, if you wasn't playing basketball, what would Mike Mulder be doing right now?
See, that's the tough question, ain't it? Like, I think that's where the inspiration came from. Like, I have no clue. I never had such a passion for anything else. You know what I mean? And basketball has been such a focus and such a passion for me that I couldn't imagine myself doing anything different. I couldn't imagine going to work a job. Like I got friends who work in factories. I got friends who sell insurance in the financial sector, all this stuff, all these good jobs. And I'm like, I just never imagined that for myself. So I really can't even answer what I think I would be doing without the game. I really don't know.
Wow. That's sounding like a KG answer. Kevin Garnett answer. Kevin Garnett says, shit, kill me dead. I can't play basketball. I got
no other options.
All right, look. Now my son do this. We heard you a gamer. You a PlayStation or Xbox?
Xbox.
Oh, okay. And what you got? In your downtime, what you rocking now? What you playing?
I play a little Call of Duty. I've been playing PC lately. I got a buddy of mine who's super into the PC games. A new one that came out, Elden Ring. I feel like I probably spent 60 hours on that game since it came out.
Damn.
I'm in Sioux Falls, baby. There ain't too much outside of hoops.
That's right. Sioux Falls, baby.
Putting some time on that. But you know, I mix it up. Whatever the new games are, I tap in and definitely staying relevant in those areas.
What are three shows you watching right now to kill some time?
I'm watching Sopranos for like the third time.
Wow.
I'm watching Snowfall. Snowfall just came back on, so I'm definitely tapping into that. What else? I watch a lot of shows, man. I mix it up, but I definitely repeat shows. Like I watched the new season Dexter. I watched that. That was pretty good too. So they ended it. The ending was disappointing again. So they broke our hearts twice. Yeah. Broke our hearts twice.
Mike, do you have any game day rituals, game day meal, or superstition?
No real superstitions, but I definitely meditate on game day. I try to meditate as often as possible, but game day is a must. Once in the morning and once before the game, just visualizing, what the outcome I want. And obviously just the positive attitude and positive energy you can bring into the game is always good. So, meditation is big.
I feel that. And this is a bonus one for you because you didn't answer it earlier. Mm. Three favorite artists of all time.
J. Cole, Big Sean, and I need a third that's tough. I was really into Biggie tracks. I'm really into Biggie.
Okay.
I'll wait for you to get the old school some love, man.
Okay.
need an old school one in there too. Definitely.
Gotta have a little old school with you. Thank you for doing halftime with us. We just want to go down, man, now the G League and in the NBA. You went undrafted. And what was your mindset at the time when the draft was taking place? Were you optimistic? Were you frustrated? What were your feelings?
You know, there was a lot of unknown in that time. You know what I mean? Watching the two drafts, I was super excited. It was such a strange feeling being so excited for my teammates getting drafted and also obviously dying to hear my name called, right? Knowing that I wasn't going to hear that, it was a tough time. You miss that opportunity and you don't get that one back. But for me, it created a hunger. I was like, man, I think if I take another route, yeah, it's like, here I am again, willing to bet on myself. Like I'll go to the G and be in front of all these NBA teams again. Just like at Kentucky, we got a pro day and all that and all the exposure that was important to us. And so that was so important for me making the decision. Oh, should I go overseas or should I go to the G? And it was kind of an easy call. When you take all the outside things out of it, you take the money, you take the lifestyle, you take all that stuff out at the base level, it's like, where do you want to go? And I knew that I wanted to be somewhere where I could be seen, continue to improve in an NBA environment. And I felt like the G League was definitely that choice for me.
Nothing to mention the fact, AG, he did get drafted and pick number 9 with them Windy City Bulls.
Yeah.
When you got drafted by them, did you come here and play for them?
Immediately, man. I went, I got drafted the next morning, drove straight to Chicago. Camp was in like the next few days. I was super excited, man. I was pumped up because I was like, man, their G League team isn't very far from downtown Chicago. And I knew we'd be practicing at the United Center and all this stuff. And I was pumped to be a part of the Chicago organization. And at the time, that was super exciting for me. I was pumped up about that.
So you've played at their practice facility over by the stadium, by the United Center.
Oh yeah. We would practice there often. A lot of times, say a guy's rehabbing, you got to be part of our practice. Mm-hmm. They'd always, even if there was one guy rehabbing for them, they'd be like, yeah, you guys are driving to us. And some guys would be like, man, make this guy come down here. Like, make him drive the 45 minutes. And I was like, nah, man, you guys don't want to go to United? Are you guys crazy? Like,
right.
I was excited, man. I always loved practicing in there. They got a beautiful facility there. And those were always good times.
Yeah.
Hey, can you explain some of the nuances of the G League and how contracts are structured? And I want to get a better understanding. I know our fans want to get a better understanding of how things work, like two-way deals and what's guaranteed and the 10-day rule. Can you just give us a brief overview of that?
Yeah, you can get a few different options there. You can go on a standard contract. You just sign in with the G. You just basically are strictly with that G League team. Mm-hmm. In that case, you can get called up by any team. So any team could see you and give you a 10-day or sign you to a two-way throughout the year anytime. That's the case a lot of guys come into when they first come into the G, myself included, just on that standard contract. Mm-hmm. The next level up of that would really be like an Exhibit 10. That's what I ended up getting with Miami in my third year pro. That's when you go to camp with a team. So you'll go to training camp. You get the extra money for training camp. Basically, you go through that. Either you can make the team. In my case, there was no room. They're like, all right, we can send you down to the G. So then you're not necessarily on a standard contract, but you're on that Exhibit 10 where they have your rights. So you make a little bit more money that year. Nothing crazy, but, you know, you went to camp with them. You've been seen by them. The opportunities grow a little bit. And then there's the two-way contract where you're up and down. You're playing with the big team and you're playing with the small team. You know, say a couple guys are out for whatever reason. They want to call you up this day. You go over to the big squad, suit up, practice, play, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And then in the times where you're not playing so much, they'll probably send you down to the G. So you're getting game reps. You're staying sharp, staying ready for that opportunity because you never know. Some guy could go down with an ankle injury. You got to go down and play 20 minutes tonight. Like, you never know. But in that case, you're actually on the NBA roster, and it's kind of like you're just kind of playing both sides, which is good for guys because if you're on the fringe and you're not getting a lot of time, you're getting a lot of game reps and staying prepared. So,
you know what AJ Guyton told me about the G League? He was like, a lot of guys, when they come up like that, he was like, the best thing, you know, he said, of course, every player wants to play and play a lot of minutes. He was like, but when you just come into a team and you want to see how things are done, he was like, guys told me, he was like, the best thing for them was to sit on the bench and watch. Because they can learn a lot by watching how the defense rotations, the offense that he calls out, where to go, where to be, how what kind of counters and stuff like that come off of a lot of broken plays and stuff. AJ Guyton says so. Sitting and watching, he's like, that's a great learning tool too in the G League.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the best thing is, like, these teams, like our team in Sioux Falls, we'll run the same stuff as Miami does up top. Mm-hmm. So you're learning the system the entire time. Even when you're down with the G, you're learning that system so that when you do get an opportunity to go up top, you already know the plays. You already know where you got to be. You know the defensive rotations and the strategies and game plans. You're familiar with all that. Right. So it's a really good place to prepare in that in-between period.
Okay.
So, man, talk to us a little bit about your first break with the Warriors. Man, you came up for a few games in 2019-2020 season. But then the bigger break came when they signed you for the 21 season outright.
Right.
What was that process like, especially you coming off the COVID season, the bubble, and the Warriors? You know, they're not having a great season.
Right.
I mean, talk about the mental toughness of that as well.
Man, there was a lot of mental toughness involved. At that time, I'm in my third year in the G, right? I think I was like 25, 26 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like all of a sudden you got a window as an athlete, right? And it becomes now, instead of just worrying about the game and stuff like that, you're starting to worry about the future. Like, oh, I got to make sure you maximize get what you can out of this before the ball stops bouncing. And I remember before the year, I'm like, man, I want to give it another shot in the G because I feel like I'm close. And then, you know, halfway through the season, it's tough not to look like to your side and be like, yo, this guy got a call up. This guy got a two-way. This guy got this. Like, when's my opportunity coming? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I had a great staff, EG, all my players, stuff like that. Everyone was really focused on, like, man, just be the best version of you. I had Jay Jack on the team, and he was like, Mike, he could see guys getting antsy. And he's like, Mike, like, I think you're really close to getting where you need to go. Like, don't let other shit bother you. Like, don't worry about nothing else. Like, your opportunity is going to come. Mm. Not like 2 weeks later. I'm coming off like a bad game. I'm trying to chase Duncan Robinson's 3-point record here. And I need like 5 more makes to do it or something. And coming off a bad game, I got like thrown out of the game on a technical. And I'm all bummed out. I go home. I'm like, man, I could have broke the record at home. Now I'm going to do it on the road. Like, I'm all bummed out. My phone rings. And it's Golden State, and they're like, Mike, like, I know tonight was kind of tough, but I got, like, some news for you that'll make you feel better. Like, we want to throw you on a plane. You think you can get on a plane at, like, 6 a.m. tomorrow and be down, like, for the game? I'm like, man, if I got to walk to the airport, I'll be on that yes. plane. Are you kidding
yes.
me?
Yes.
I know.
Kidding me?
Yes. I know you forgot about that game real quick. Like, what bad game I had? What the fuck happened? I don't even know what happened. Yeah.
Forget it, man. Forget it. So that was crazy getting down there on the 10-day. I've been waiting my whole life for this 10-day. It's basically like an audition, right?
Audition.
Like, you got to go down there, play well. But the best thing that had happened the whole year was just the consistent work, day in and day out. You know, I was so focused on putting one foot in front of the other, stacking good days on top of good days. Mm-hmm. That when my 10-day came, I was so locked into that mindset that I was able to, like, I went into a situation where I'm going to play. I'm going to come in on my 10-day. I'm fortunate enough to get some time here. Mm-hmm. And I was able to focus and stack good game after good game after good game. I didn't have to do anything incredible. You don't got to go down there and then shoot all types of shots and what right. guys think they got to do.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the job you're going to get. You know what I mean? You got to just be come in and be solid.
Yeah.
And I was able to remain focused and stack those good days. And throughout my 10-day, people are like, Mike, they might sign you. Like, you know, you're playing really well. I'm like, don't even say that to me. Just let me stack these last few days. By the end of it, they're like, you know, either they could give me another 10-day or they could sign me to the rest of the season. And I was like, man, whatever they do, it's not my job to make those calls. You know what I mean? I'm just worried about practice this morning. I'm worried about shoot around later. I'm worried about the game at 7. That's it. The guys in suits got to do what the guys in suits do. And I was fortunate enough that they signed me to the rest of the season, multi-year deal. So I signed for that season, the season after, which was awesome.
Man.
Pretty crazy.
Not only was it awesome, how about this, AG? You know, he played in the Rising Stars game. I mean,
yeah,
man.
Had one game where he hit 7 threes. So I think he could shoot a little bit too, you know.
A little bit. it was crazy timing, especially like sometimes it's like the preparation meets opportunity, right? But sometimes the stars got to align right too. And for that timing, like I got done with my 10-day, I signed my deal and I'm super pumped. I'm like, man, we got whatever it was, 12 games left in the season. We already were like eliminated from the playoffs, but I was like, man, I'm starting to catch a groove here. Like, you know, I'm starting to develop into what I want to do here. And then we played like one more game after that 10-day and the league shut down. And it's like, all of a sudden they were like, one day they're like, we're not going to have fans tomorrow and we're going to be the first ones to do it. So don't panic. Like, everyone's going to freak out, but don't panic. The next day they're like, we're cutting it. Like, we're done.
Dang.
And I'm thinking to myself, like, man, if they would have given me another 10-day, then what would happen to me? You know what I mean? Like, if I had got the 10-day a few days later, what would have happened to me? But it's like all these things fell into place at the right time where it's like now I had an opportunity right on the edge of where it shut down. And it was a little bit of like the stars aligned for that.
Yeah.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, the guys who signed 10-day contracts when COVID hit, that was it for them then.
Yeah, usually, like I had another guy sign while I was on the 10-day. He had signed when we were like, I was probably on my day 7 or something like that. So he was in the middle of his 10-day during this. COVID hit, and it's like, that's the last time I saw him. You know what I mean? So it's like, not only is it tough on a 10-day, like you get a 10-day and go up and not play. You know what I mean? You might just practice. You might get no game shots, no game rhythm. Yeah. And that's that. And that's a lot of guys. That happens to a ton of guys.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just situationally, it's tough. You know what I mean? But I fell into a situation where I had the opportunity to play and produce and just be myself. I didn't have to do anything nuts. I just had to be myself. Yeah. And fortunately enough, I was in the right situation where I was able to make that shake.
And I think back going to that right situation, like, there's a more calmness about you, about your game when you get out on the floor, meaning that you don't have to, like you said, you don't have to go out and do this and do that. I'm confident in what I can do and know I can do it. And now I can just go out here on the floor and just do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Clear headed, man. You just got to be yourself, be solid, play hard, be competitive. When you're not playing, be a good teammate. Like, they got their guys that's going to score 30. You know what I mean? Like, you don't got to be that guy. You just got to be the guy who's going to be solid. You're going to knock down open shots, make the right play every time, and, you know, play the right way. Those are the guys that they want. They want guys who are going to lead into winning basketball. And that's what I was able to do because of my preparation here in Sioux Falls. I was totally prepared for that.
It's interesting, man, to hear you say that because you are a team guy, chemistry guy, but you can score the heck out of the basketball. That 2021 season, Curry was back. Draymond is healthy. Still didn't have Clay, but your team dynamics were great. Talk to us about playing for Coach Kerr during those times.
Man, it was awesome, man. Coach Kerr is awesome to play for, man. Player's coach. He really teaches good basketball. You watch them play, the ball's popping, moving. Everybody's cutting, flying around. That's a perfect place for a guy like me who I don't want someone to throw me the ball and I got to get into a bag and try to one-on-one score on somebody. Like, I'm really good in a system. Like, I'm really good as a piece to a system, a five player collab. Mm-hmm. And that's a perfect place for that. You know what I mean? So that was really important. The way that they play over there, that really allows a lot of guys to thrive. You know, tonight it might be his night. Tonight that might be his night. It don't really matter, and no one really cares. Right. It's just about winning. It's about playing the right way, and we're gonna see what the outcome is. But that's the best place for a player like myself to be plugged in. And then it's just like, all right, go make the right play, and it's like that's easy.
I just gotta ask, man. Obviously, AG and I, we never got an opportunity to experience this, but you had to be freaking out when you went into that locker room and saw your jersey hanging up.
Man.
What?
Just having a locker in the locker room. You know, I was freaking out when I saw my nameplate. You know what I mean? It's like, man, like I'm looking around the room and the guys in this room, like this is nuts, right? And this is what I always wanted. And this is the job I always aspired for. So when finally that jersey was hanging up, man, I'm telling you, like I went up to it, I held on to it till like the game started. Like after the first game, it's like I don't want to change and go home. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'm the one sitting there. They're like, Mike, the game's over. You can go home. I'm like, yeah, I'm cool. Like, you know, I'm just gonna hang around here a little bit. Like,
hey, Mike, I would have kept my jersey on and put my shirt right over that motherfucker and button it up. Like, all right, I'll see y'all tomorrow at practice.
I'd have been cool as sleeping in that. I'm telling you, like, that's a surreal moment. And you know, it's a lot of, like we talked about, it was a lot of this, like the whole pathway up. And to finally have that moment, it meant a lot to me. Absolutely.
Who scooped you up though? What veteran guy said, hey man, this is how we kind of do it up here? Who was that guy for you?
There was a lot of them, man. Steph was a really vocal leader during that season for us. And Steph's not the type, like, it's funny seeing Steph and Draymond in the same environment, because they're two totally different leadership styles. Mm-hmm. Steph's not the type to like yell at you or really even raise his voice. He's like teaching you, like pinpoint, just giving you little bits of knowledge, teaching you. Mm-hmm. Draymond is like raising your competitive level, like coming at you face to face, challenging you. And so it was really those two in the locker room who were leaders to the group. Clay was doing his rehab a little bit, but you could tell Clay was itching to get back for the leadership role. He'd be yelling at us when we're losing games or guys are looking soft. He's giving us shit, man. I'm telling you. But those two, especially Draymond, when it comes to really being vocal and intensity, raising that intensity, it was definitely Draymond with that for sure.
Yo, he talks like that on the court too, don't he? Like he's constantly talking, like telling guys where to go, get through that, get up on his ass, dog. He ain't gonna shoot it. I done heard him.
Absolutely, and like his IQ is like through the roof, like insane. When I first got around him on the 10-day, we're doing film, and I swear Draymond talked more than the coaching staff. And they're asking him, "What do you see on this?" And he's disagreeing with them. I don't think we should do it like this. I think we should do it like this. And they're like, "Okay, like you know," because he's not wrong. And when we're playing, I've watched entire possessions where he's pointing it out. The play's coming. It's like me, I'm watching it. It's kind of like happening. It feels like it's the first time I'm seeing this develop. Draymond's pointing to guys, sending different guys up. His man goes up to set a ball screen. He's yelling at me to follow so that we can switch. This, that. They get a bad shot. They miss. Draymond's got his hands up. Like
what?
And it's like he's orchestrating the entire possession defensively, and a guy like that makes it so much easier for the rest of the team, and really raises the confidence on the defensive side of the basketball. Like we really got a high IQ mind down here. It's like having another coach playing with you.
So that's why they really missing his ass. Like if you have that piece missing off of your team, that's like the heartbeat, the orchestra who's doing the. You know what I'm saying? Like he's part of he's an extension of the coach of Steve Kerr and the point guard. He has both of those in him.
He has all of it. He sees every read. He's offensively and defensively. He sees every read, what could happen, how you could change it, how you could fix it. He's 10 steps ahead every time. Wow. That's why it's nuts watching film with him and stuff like that. Like, he's picking out stuff like I didn't even notice that. You know what I mean? Like, that,
damn,
that wasn't, I didn't think nothing of that. And he's like, no, like, we can take this whole play out. Like, they could never run this play again. Like, and wow, he really has all that. Like, he, like you said, he definitely orchestrates it. That's for sure.
Wow.
So you're playing well with the Warriors, but then of course you find yourself really kind of in a Warriors guard traffic jam. Just too many guys, you know, in a similar position. So then you get a shot with Orlando. Then you kind of back and forth in between the G League, and now you signed a two-way with Miami. Mm-hmm. My question for you is, how do you personally stay focused and prepared without getting frustrated? And what I mean by frustrating, knowing that you belong at the highest level. You're high-level talent.
Yeah.
How do you handle that? And who's with you? Is your family there with the support? Who's coming alongside you to help you process that?
Yeah, my family was there the whole time with support, as well as, you know, old teammates of mine, players that I played with, friends, all types of coaches. Like, I still talk to Coach Kuz to this day. All these guys, they had a lot of faith in me and belief. And, you know, that's a tough situation to get through. Like, you're jumping teams. You know, I get waived from Warriors. I'm like, man, I'd never been waived before. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know what comes next. It's uncertainty. Get to Orlando. We're like halfway through the year. They're kind of set in their ways, right? It's tough to break into that rotation. I think I'm good enough to play here, but they kind of have it set, right? And it's like, I kind of like got to get it how I live here, get cut from there. And it's like, now I'm really uncertain. Now I'm like, I don't know what the next, like what next is for me, right? And it's like, so what do I do? Like, do I go home and continue to work out and hope for a call, which is what I ended up choosing? Or do I go overseas like a lot of guys do and finish the season and come back for the summer circuit? Like, what do you do? And I was like going through a process where it's like, all right, a couple of days goes by. All right, a week goes by. My phone not ringing. Like, I'm talking to my agent. It's like, you're on a lot of lists. You're just not at the top of anybody's list. And it's like, well, no one's willing to pull the trigger on me, right? And it's like, I'm kind of feeling like, man, I thought I had a good year last year. I shot 40, like this and that. I know I'm good enough to play. I just need the opportunity, right?
Yep.
And so I was like, I talked to EG over in Miami, and he's like, this has nothing to do with Sioux Falls, Miami. This is just like me and him personally having a conversation, right? We're close. And he's like, Mike, I'll just tell you right now, like, it's like out of sight, out of mind, right? The longer you're at home and not playing games, like, no one gives a shit what you did last year. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta come prove it again. And the best thing is, you've done that before. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I were you, I would check back into the G now. And after that conversation, I was like, yeah, man, you're right. I should probably get back to the Sioux. There's only like 10, 15 games left. And I'm like, man, a couple games is enough for an opportunity. You know what I mean? Every single game counts when you're fighting for an opportunity. And so I got back here as soon as possible and was fortunate enough to play some games. And, you know, then it's like, oh yeah, this guy can play, you know what I mean? And they're familiar with me in Miami. So that was a really good decision for me. And you know, that was really valuable conversation I had with E, for sure.
How many games did you play before Miami called you?
I think I played 10 games before Miami had called.
What was your confidence level at that time?
It was high. Coming in, I hadn't played in a few weeks, like games anyway. There's nothing, you can't simulate games, right? It's like, you can only do so much in individual workouts and stuff like that, but you can't simulate games. So came into my first game and I was like, man, I definitely remember how to do this. Like, you know what I mean? And I had played here before. So it only took me a few games to really catch a rhythm. And I'm not a guy who came and like broke up the, you know, the team aspect. Like I know these guys, they weren't bothered by me coming in because it's like, he's not going to come in. I'm not just going to come in and jack shots and dominate the ball, right?
Well,
it's like, I'm going to be good for like the team environment. Yeah. And so I was fortunate enough to get plugged back in here. And just by playing the right way and being myself, I really caught a rhythm through those 10 games and was able to, you know, get back to that level where now people are noticing.
Ask him the numbers he was putting up. In them 10 days, what kind of numbers were you putting up? I know the numbers. I want AG to know the numbers.
Yeah, I had a couple 30 balls. I was flirting with 40 the one day with 39.
Yes.
What?
Yes, AJ.
Yeah.
Oh, he had a 35 and 7, a 39 and 8. I mean, he was putting up, actually, I'm sorry, 39 and 11. I took off a few. He was having them kind of games.
Is them 11 assists?
I think that was 11 threes.
Yeah. Damn.
He was killing. That's all I can say. Killing.
Yeah, I was definitely heating up, but it's the situation where you're fighting for your life, man. I'm used to being on that fringe of like I'm on the edge of getting in. I've been on this fringe before. I've been in the JUCO. I've been in a G before. Like when you come to the G, it's no joke. It's the same as JUCO. Like these guys are 26, 27, 30, and they're trying to bust your ass. Like they want to put food on the table too. You know what I mean? Yep. So I've been in this situation before. So I was like, man, I'm willing to bring that high level intensity to get where I need to be. And whatever happens, happens. I knew there was only 15 games left in the season. But I knew that playing those games out is a way better option than sitting at home waiting by the phone. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I knew Hell I could prove myself in those games and remind people that I could play and there's a reason why they should be calling.
You know, it's so interesting, Mike. You know, some of the questions I asked you today was because I see so many similarities between your story and AG's story, man. Just that fight to, you know, go, you know, beating the odds and, you know, you knowing how great you are and having to prove it over and over. You can have a great year, and you got to prove it over. For me, that has never kind of been the case. When I played, you know, I can have a bad game, and they were still saying, hey, Will just had a bad game, but he's a great player. Like, I never went into the scrutiny of that. Mm-hmm. For young people that are listening, what would be your advice to them as they are always feeling like they got to fight for it and don't feel like they're getting the recognition? What would be your advice for them?
Man, fight harder, man. You know, you got to leave it all out there. Like, I know that I'm going to continue to have to prove myself. Like, I'm nowhere near done proving what I got to do. This game is about what have you done lately? Like, no one gives a shit about last year. You know what I mean? What are you doing right now? And bringing that level every day is super important. Like I said about the 10-day stuff, it was about stacking good days on top of good days. I'm bringing that through my entire career from now on. Like, that, there's no going back from that, no matter what type of successes I find. Whatever might come up. And I know that at the end of my career, I won't look back and say, man, what if I would have, you know what I mean? I wish I would have went harder. I wish I would have taken advantage of this opportunity differently. Like you can't have those types of what ifs. And, you know, but when it's all said and done, you know that you gave this game everything you could. And you know, it'll reward you for that, man. The game has given me everything I have. So I owe it to it. To give it everything back. So just continuing to really keep striking the ground and keep getting better and stacking those good days, no matter the struggle, no matter how tough today was, worry about tomorrow, man. Don't worry about yesterday. It's gone. You know what I mean? And you just got to continue to strike the ground and keep stacking them days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I tell shorties, Mike. I say dudes like us, like, I call it us because I'm like, the dudes who name ain't in the paper, our days is going to be like this. Hills and valleys. It going to be like this. Yeah. You're going to feel good some days. You're going to have some great days, some bad days, some good games, some bad games. I'm like, but you never stop fighting. You never stop competing. You never stop wanting that. What you going after. I said, like, long as you show you got some fight in you and you about that, somebody gonna see that.
Absolutely, man. And it makes it sweeter, right? Like, not having the offers out of high school and then going the JUCO route, the tough route, and then getting to that Division I level. It made it sweeter for me, right? Going undrafted and having to fight my way for 3 years, like by my nails and teeth, and then finally getting in that locker room and seeing that jersey. It makes it sweeter. And you know, you don't take those moments for granted, right? So it really is like, it's nice for guys who go the straight path and that's awesome. You know what I mean? I wish no ill will. It's just, that's not my story. And I feel like the struggles are really what made me who I am today. And without those struggles, I don't know if I could achieve the same level of things. You know what I mean? I think the hard times are really important to who you become.
never running from a situation.
Never.
Seeing it through. You know what I'm saying?
Like yeah,
never, no matter how you feel in the situation end up, I never ran from it. I got on the end of it. I see how it is. Now I can dust my hands off and move on to the next situation. That's what you can always draw back on.
Those trials will challenge you, man. They'll test you. Yeah. They'll show, you'll know if you really want to do this, if you're really about what you said you're about, you know what I mean? And who you become in the process of those struggles, I think that's what's really important. And that's what's led me to where I am. And I think that's what's going to continue to lead me to wherever I'm going next.
Well, I tell you, Mike, man, we want to thank you, man, for being on the show. We wish you nothing but great success. You know, you got two fans over here, no matter what's going on.
My God.
We're rooting for you.
Yes,
so,
you
man,
do.
Keep pushing. But before we let you go, man, my dog got one more question for you.
What's the next chapter in Mike Mulder's hoop dream?
Man, the next chapter is to get back, man. I need to get back to where I want to be, prove that I could play, prove that I could stay on the highest level. And that's basically my focus moving forward, is just continuing to prove myself every day until that day comes where the ball stop bouncing. That's what I'm going to continue to do. So
that's what's up. Youngsters, y'all heard it first from Michael Mulder, baby.
That's right. Yes, sir.
That's right. That's right. Keeping it real, man. We thank you, man.
Did Pat Riley and them, is they going to take care of you for the rest of the season?
Yeah. I'll be with them for the rest of the season. I'll be with them next season as well. We're going to make something happen out of this deal. I'll tell you that. That's for sure.
First of all, they need to go ahead and just bring you up for the rest, because they need you right now.
Yeah. I'm sitting by. I got my phone with me. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
I mean, the reality is, they need another big guard. They need another big guard.
Another big guard that can shoot.
This playoff run. That could make this playoff run.
Absolutely, man.
But, man, Mike, I'm trying to find you on Instagram, man. What's your handle?
Handle is Mike Mulder 11.
I'm riding with you, dog. I'm be checking you out from here on out, man, seeing how you doing.
For sure. I appreciate it, man.
I may check in from time to time, man. Just, you know.
Definitely. Please do. Appreciate you guys having me.
I'm the gold of my era. I've been a trending topic. I'm as fly as a feather. My pocket's macroscopic. See, with time, I get better. I'm always in the action, kid. Know I got it locked from Chicago, where the toughest live. Concrete jungle, earn my stripes on the pavement there. You make it here, then you can make it anywhere. No comparison. Your game is embarrassing. No one can touch me. I'm all for going there again. Yeah, I think I'm balling like I'm Will Gates. I'm hoop dreaming, trying to fight against a sealed fate. More faith. Think I'm balling like I'm Arthur Agee. I'm box office, and one day they gon' have to pay me. Yeah, I think I'm balling like I'm Will Gates. I'm hoop dreaming, trying to fight against a sealed fate. More faith. Think I'm balling like I'm Arthur Agee. I'm box office, and one day they gon' have to pay me.
Hoop Dreams, the podcast, an Unlearning Network production. Written and produced by Arthur Agee, Will Gates, Matt Hoffer, with audio engineering from Matt Savage. For more episodes, check us out at www.unlearningnetwork.com.
Gotta be a dog to survive in this cold weather. Ice in my veins, no need for a warm sweater. I'm coming for it all, best believe I won't let up. Yeah, hey, I think I'm balling like I'm Will Gates. I'm hoop dreaming, trying to fight against a sealed fate. More faith, think I'm ballin' like I'm Arthur Agee. I'm box office, and one day they gon' have to pay me. Yeah, I think I'm ballin' like I'm Will Gates. I'm hoop dreamin', trying to fight against a sealed fate. More faith, think I'm ballin' like I'm Arthur Agee. I'm box office, and one day they gon' have to pay me.
Yeah.